There are exactly 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. And even though that might be something that many of us know already, 150 is still a lot of psalms. 150 is a lot of anything. And that probably means that some psalms are more familiar to us than others, and some psalms perhaps we don't know that well at all. A little while ago, as Ali was mentioning, I asked her what her favourite psalm was, or if she had a favourite psalm. And one of the ones that she mentioned in response to that question was Psalm 103, which is the psalm that we're looking at today. In fact, over the next 7 weeks, we'll be looking at a different psalm each Sunday, and there'll be a different person preaching every week. Now, seven psalms out of 150 isn't very many. It's only a small sample, a small proportion, less than 5% of the total number, in fact. But each one of the psalms is unique, and each is worth reading. And the book of Psalms is one of the easiest books to find in the Bible because it's right in the middle. So if we open the Bible, anywhere close to halfway, we're likely to find the book of Psalms. And the Psalms are poetry. They're songs from the heart that are meant to be sung. And they're prayers to God that we can make use of ourselves, which is what makes the book of Psalms a good book to know and to look through and to read, and it's helpful and it's important. But unless we're in the habit of reading through all the Psalms regularly, then almost certainly some of the Psalms are going to feel less familiar to us than the others. And as I've said already, 150 is a lot. It really is a lot. So some of the Psalms we're going to be unfamiliar, some of them might be very familiar, some of the Psalms we might even have tried to learn by heart at some point. Psalm 23, for example, "The Lord is my shepherd," is probably the most well-known of all the Psalms. And over the past couple of weeks, I've been trying to learn Psalm 103, because as well as it being one of Ali's favourite Psalms, it's also one of my favourite Psalms, and one that I find particularly helpful. And as Ali mentioned, when it was read earlier, it might have sounded quite familiar because there are lots and lots of songs that have been inspired by this psalm, or songs that contain words taken from Psalm 103. We've already sung a couple of them this morning, and there are lots more. But don't worry if this psalm doesn't sound very familiar, because we're going to spend time looking at it together now. And as I've said, psalms are really helpful and useful because they put into words things that we might want to say to God ourselves. We can often find ourselves struggling to pray, I know that I do, or struggling to find the words to express what we want to say to God. And sometimes using the psalms can be a helpful way to begin that communication. And because the psalms are poetry, we can expect that as we read them or as we listen to them, they will perhaps stir up some emotions or feelings, because they contain some very profound truths about God, about the world, about us, things that we might not be thinking about. And then we read a psalm and a particular phrase or a word can sometimes really resonate with us in a deep way, in a way that touches our hearts, in a way that helps us to connect with God. And that's why it's good to read the Psalms. And even if some of us have never tried to memorize any of the Psalms, there is a bit of the Bible probably that we have all memorized if we are over a certain age. The part of the Bible that we're most likely to have learned by heart is what we call the Lord's Prayer, which Ali also read to us a little earlier. And I don't know whether children are still taught the Lord's Prayer at school. Possibly not. Owen, have they taught you the Lord's Prayer at school? Have you had to learn that? No. Okay. But it was something that I was taught at school from a very early age. And when we were preparing for today, Ali pointed out something in Psalm 103 that I'd never seen before, never even thought about before, but it was something that was very helpful and very encouraging. The thing that Ali saw was a connection with the Lord's Prayer, and it's found in verse 19 towards the end of the psalm. And this is what it says: "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." It's quite a statement, isn't it? The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So before this week, I'd never really thought about what might have inspired Jesus to teach his followers the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's such a familiar prayer, one that gets recited often in churches, perhaps at home, perhaps in some schools, on a regular basis, perhaps in other places as well. But when his disciples came to Jesus asking him to teach them how to pray, we might wonder, well, where did the inspiration for that well-known prayer come from? Where did Jesus get his inspiration from? It's a question I'd never even thought about before, but what Ali said about verse 19 set me on a path that's led me to think that it might have been this very psalm, Psalm 103, that gave Jesus the inspiration for what has probably become the most recited prayer in the whole world. So with that in mind, let's have a look and see what other things connect Psalm 103 to the Lord's Prayer. As we know, the Lord's Prayer begins with the words, "Our Father in heaven." And here we're told in verse 19 that the Lord has established his throne in heaven. Verse 11 also tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And then in verse 13 it says that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So you can see this sounds familiar, doesn't it? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," is the first line of the Lord's Prayer. And as we know, the very first line of Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Hallowed be your name." And then it goes on, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we've already read verse 19 of this psalm. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. It's worth repeating that. But then what follows in verses 20 and 21, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word." That's God's will being done in heaven. "Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will." And then we have verse 22. "Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion." This reminds us, dominion, kingdom, it's the same thing. They're very similar words, which both refer to God's rule, to God's authority. And doing God's will on earth as in heaven is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. "Give us today our daily bread," is the next line in the Lord's Prayer, followed by the words, "Forgive us our sins," or "Forgive us our debts." And again, if we go back to Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3 also introduce this theme of forgiveness, which is strongly present in this psalm. "Praise the Lord, my soul," verse 2, "and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins." And then in verse 4, "who redeems your life from the pit And then in verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things. This is about forgiveness. This is what we say when we say the Lord's Prayer. And the writer of this psalm is describing God, giving reasons why we should praise the Lord, spelling out what God has done for us. When Jesus told his followers to pray the words, "Give us today our daily bread," he knows that we're asking our Heavenly Father, the one who satisfies our desires with good things. That's who God is. That's what God does. And then in the next part of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We have the corresponding statement in verse 6 of Psalm 103. "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed." Asking God to deliver us from evil is a powerful prayer to pray when we know that the Lord is the one who works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. That's what it means to be delivered from evil. And the Lord's Prayer ends with the words, didn't quite make it to the screen, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And in verse 17 of Psalm 103, we have this: "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him." And the sense of eternity and the permanence of God's kingdom is also, there's a contrast with verses 15 and 16, which say, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more." That's life here on earth. Psalm 103 is a psalm that's basically all about God, about his eternal heavenly kingdom that rules over all, just as the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that's all about God's kingdom being established forever. And many of us know the Lord's Prayer by heart, and we can recite it easily whenever we want to, wherever we are, if we feel inspired to do that, because we've memorized it, because we've committed it to heart, we can pray that prayer. And when Jesus' disciples came to him asking him to teach them about how to pray, what Jesus taught them seems to be closely connected to this psalm, probably because Jesus knew this psalm by heart as well. And Psalm 103 is a psalm that begins and ends in exactly the same way, with exactly the same words, which are, "Praise the Lord, my soul." Praise the Lord is an instruction. It's a phrase that tells us to do something. And we can't read Psalm 103 without noticing that this instruction to praise the Lord is repeated again and again and again at the beginning and at the end. This psalm is an encouragement to think about what God has done for us. So easy to forget. But this psalm tells us to remember and not forget all his benefits, all the good things that God gives us. Now, we've only just finished going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and perhaps we were hoping for something a bit different this week. But in fact, there's quite a bit in this psalm that reminds us of Ecclesiastes. Life is fleeting. We need to be careful how we live. We need to remember our Creator and fear him. Life without God is not something that the writer of this psalm wants to contemplate, because the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's who God is. And the Lord's love is what we need all the time, every day. His unfailing, eternal, redeeming love. And I think Jesus used the ideas contained in this psalm to teach his disciples how to pray, to teach us how to pray and how to live. Jesus embodied and fulfilled this psalm in everything he said and did. He forgave sins. He healed diseases, as it says here in verse 3. Jesus was compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, as it says in verse 8. Jesus didn't treat people as their sins deserved or repay them according to their iniquities. Instead, he lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross to demonstrate how much he loves us, the extent of his love. And in order to remove our transgressions, the things that we do wrong, remove those things from us as far as the east is from the west. And this psalm is an amazing description of God's love towards us. It's a revelation of how great God's love for people is. That's what makes this psalm so good. And if we grasp what this psalm is saying, and if we connect it with what Jesus did and what he taught, then the only appropriate response for us is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And often we can forget to do this. We forget what God has done for us. We forget what we are like without God's grace, without his love. And this psalm serves as a great reminder, a reminder of who God is, a reminder of what God is like, a reminder of how we should respond to the love that he shows us, that he has shown us, that he will show us, love that means forgiveness from all our sins, healing from all our diseases. It doesn't get better than this. Love that totally changes how God treats us. Love that transforms us from the inside out. And this might all sound too good to be true. When we look at the mess of our lives, the mess of the lives of the people around us, when we look at the brokenness of the world with all the corruption, all the conflict, all the war and hatred, where is there any hope? Well, I think it's here. It's here in Psalm 103. What we're all looking for is what this psalm is all about. This is a psalm that clearly points us to Jesus. He is our hope, our salvation, the only hope in a world that is headed for destruction in so many ways. So here's the application. Let's use this psalm. Let's make use of this psalm as an encouragement and an inspiration to do what is right, to praise the Lord, and to call others to praise him, to praise the one whose love is from everlasting to everlasting, and whose kingdom rules over all. The psalm starts and ends with us telling ourselves, praise the Lord. But it ends with us telling everything and all of creation to praise the Lord. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee? Us, his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Let's pray together. Lord, we do want to give you thanks, give you glory for your great love for us. Lord, thank you that you have made, you have changed our hearts, Lord. You have made a difference in our lives, Lord, a difference that no amount of willpower or determination could have brought about. Lord, you have given us new hearts, Lord. You've put a new song in our mouths, Lord, and we want to praise you, Lord, because of your goodness, because of your faithfulness, because of what you mean to us, Lord, and we want to be people who praise you here as we gather, but Lord, praise you wherever we find ourselves, day after day after day. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. Lord, you deserve our very best. Lord, you have won our hearts, Lord, and we are grateful to you. So, Lord, we ask you to help us. Lord, we ask you to help us to make the most of every opportunity to sing your praise, Lord, to worship you, to give you our hearts, Lord, to live for you, to do everything we can that you might be known. And Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning, Lord, that we can read this psalm, be reminded, Lord, of who you are, celebrate together, Lord, and remember, what you did for us on the cross as well. Lord, we know that we were redeemed at a price, Lord, that you had to pay a great price for us. And Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, but we want to live for you in every way we can. So Lord, please enable us, fill us with your spirit, Lord, equip us and empower us to be your people in this world, Lord, with the people that you've put around us. Lord, we thank you for each other here together, Lord. Thank you that we can pull together, Lord. We can go from here, Lord, with you, knowing that you are with us, Lord. So much that we have to thank you for. So, Lord, help us to praise you. Lord, with all that is in us, praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.